Be on the alert. Be praying. We see that throughout. So then we're to be alert. We're to also be sober of spirit. And we need to recognize the spirit is willing. We want to do the right thing, but the flesh is weak. So we need something beyond the flesh, don't we? We need Jesus. We need his spirit to enable us to be successful in our defense.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we finish our look at 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, in preparation for Nehemiah chapter 2.
Yes, Dave, so let's get right to our study. So turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 and 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
So now we've seen in the book of Nehemiah that he also uses people to oppose the work of God. And as we begin this work here, this new church out here, we need to expect it, and we're going to see it next week. Expect being opposed. Expect satanic opposition, which could and might come through people. Expect it and know how to respond in advance so that we are not caught off guard when we're stepping out and doing what God wants us to do. You see, he's going to try to use people to oppose us so that we'll be frightened, demoralized, discouraged, and quit. Hey, I have had those temptations with the evil men and women that have come after me in the last few years, where I'm tempted to say, forget it, you know? But that's evil, and God doesn't want me to say, forget it. He wants me to say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I trust you. And so these temptations are going to come upon us, and we need to know. He wants to, as we will see, devour us. He wants to pick out a weak believer. You know, you see those animal shows where there's a weak animal and the lion is just watching it going, that's the one, right? And zoom, dead, you know? You see that. And Satan is doing the same. He's looking for someone who is weak in the faith, who is allowing all the stuff to get in the way and all messed up emotions, whatever it might be, who's weak, and he's going to devour them. And God warns us, back to our passage, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The term devour speaks of gulping up, destroying, and he continually, habitually seeks after someone. Now, I believe he's talking about believers. You say, how do I know that? Because he says your adversary seeks someone to devour, but you resist him. Obviously, the context says he's seeking you to devour. But we are given God's word so that we would not be devoured. You see, we're in great spiritual danger when we trust and walk with the Lord. Hey, if you're not walking with the Lord, you got bad attitudes all the time. You know, you're sinning, you don't confess, whatever. You know, guess what? You're just doing good in your sin. You're doing fine for him. You're doing fine for him. He's not going to oppose you because you're doing his will. Now, I know you're miserable because anybody's believer who's sinning is miserable. But for us who want to follow him, who want to obey him, who want to do what is right, throughout the book of 2 Peter, talks about good deeds being slandered, talks about doing what is right for conscience towards God, doing what is right, talks about following the footsteps of Christ, walking according to his will, talking about suffering for the sake of righteousness, don't fear their intimidation, keep a good conscience so the thing you're slandered, they'd be put to shame by your good behavior. You're doing what's right, and the good is in the context of serving the Lord and his people. We saw in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, we proclaim Christ, we preach him and ourselves as your bondservants. Hey, we are servants of the Lord, but we serve you. And so if you want to serve the Lord by serving one another, as we're going to be doing here and as we are doing in our church, then we're going to be opposed. But we can be tempted to worry. We can be tempted to fear. We can be intimidated by those persecuting us, circumstances that have come about. We can be tempted to fear, be demoralized. We're going to see that Nehemiah knew it. He said, they're trying to cause us to be frightened. They're trying to do this to stop the world. He knew it. He saw what they were doing. We need to see that. That Satan is going to do things to frighten us, to not continue doing what we're going to do. And isn't that the way you decide, I want to be a godly husband, I want to be a godly wife, and all of a sudden everything's messed up, you know? And then you get tempted, you get frightened, whatever. You know, we see this here, you know, before church, there's always kind of conflict. You probably realize that. You get in your car, there's something with the kids, there's all of a sudden, there's all kinds of things happening. You know, Satan wants to destroy the work of God. And we who are wanting to do his work and are bound together in a desire to do so need to be aware of this. And we need to be on our guard so that we do not get devoured and thus have collateral damage and hurt the ministry of what God desires to do. So then he wants to swallow us up, devour us. What are we to do? Well, God gives us clear instruction here. Look back in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, it's exciting to come here and to start a new church, and it's, you know, exciting, but we need to be on the alert. We have an enemy. We're going to get attacked, and that's no matter where you are if you're following God, no matter where you are. So the first command we have here is to do something. Be of sober spirit. The term speaks of being self-controlled, not controlled by alcohol, fear, worry, anxiety. It's an attempt that speaks of a completed action. Just be of sober spirit. Get your thoughts straight. Get your emotions under control. Don't let things fly out of hand in your heart. Don't let thoughts get just out of control. Hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And what is it that causes us not to be of sober spirit? It's a focus on all the stuff that's going on. It's a focus on the difficulties that are coming our way. It's a focus on what's happening. You want to be a godly spouse and all of a sudden you got problems. It's a focus on that rather than focusing on the Lord and trusting in Him and seeing what He wants you to do and how He wants you to respond, whatever it might be. You want to do good at work? You know, all of a sudden you got opposition, right? Don't get focused on it. Focus on the Lord. Be of sober spirit. Don't let your heart get all shaken up. You know, Peter is really fond of this word, and he's used it quite a bit in this book. He'll say back in chapter 1, he says, to gird your minds, verse 13, for action, keep sober in spirit. Gird your minds for action. Gird yourself up to act. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't fix your hope on the little tiny difficulties coming at you right now being resolved. God will take care of that, but don't fix your hope on that. Fix your hope on Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and of sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Get your mind together so that you can pray rightly. You're not all scattered because of all the difficulties and stuff that are going on. Be of sober spirit. You think of those old war movies where the guy's like this and the guy was, you know, and he's like, get your mind together. Stop letting all those things cause you to be drunk in your thoughts. Be of sober spirit. That's the first thing, because if we're not, Satan's going to devour you. He's going to devour you. If your heart and mind is all over the place, go to the Lord Jesus. He'll help you be sober. He'll help you. Go to Him. Lord God, help me. I'm all over the place. Go to His word, as we'll see, and trust Him. Trust Him to help you, because if you ask, He will help you. Okay, He's a good God. You ask for bread, He's not going to give you a stone, right? So then, be of sober spirit. We are vulnerable to Satan's attacks if we are not sober. Get your thinking right. Look at 1 Peter 5, 6, right before our passage. Humble yourselves, therefore, verse 6, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Don't be prideful. That's Satan's game. He loves that. He'll use you greatly if you're prideful, right? Casting all your anxiety upon Him, for He cares for you. A very vivid in the Greek. It's like throwing a saddle onto a horse. Throwing your anxiety upon Jesus, because He cares for you. You are anxious? Yes, okay, He knows that. Go to Him with it. And throw it on Him in prayer. Throw it on Him. Trust Him with it. We know from Philippians chapter 4 that we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, think rightly, think this way, whatever is this, think this way, and the God of peace will be with you if you listen and you do. Okay? Be a sober spirit. We're commanded to be sober because we have an enemy. You look at right now on TV, you got Ukraine, right? And you got Russia all surrounded Ukraine, right? And you look at every little picture of the Ukrainians and they're all like this, right? They are not, you know, just la 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 la, you know. The army's not just thinking, no big deal. They know they have an enemy. They know that enemy might attack and they are alert. They're alert. They're sober. But they're also watchful, and we need to be watchful, just as if we're in a war. Look at our passage here. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. You know, you got to be ready for the attacks. It's like you got an enemy. Yes, we need to relax and rest, and yes, we need to enjoy the things that God has given us. It's a blessing, and we can do that, but we need to be on the alert also because there are attacks coming. We need to be wise. God says so. He says, be on the alert. Now, obviously, it's because you have an enemy prowling about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The term being on alert has the idea of keeping awake, being watchful, keep awake, stay awake. Indeed, the Lord Jesus used the same term to encourage Peter, James, and John to stay alert on the night he was betrayed, so that when he went to pray. Matthew 26, let's turn there, Matthew 26 and verse 37. See, we're vulnerable to Satan's attacks if we're not alert. And we're going to see Peter wasn't alert. He got it. Matthew 26, 37. He took with him Peter and the two sons Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to him, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Some versions say stay awake. Keep watch, say stay awake, actually. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying. There's our word, watching and praying. Keep alert, watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, there are differing times that we need to be more on the alert than other times, right? And this was a time where Jesus said, you need to be on the alert. Keep watching, right? And we need to recognize when we're about God's work, doing God's will, you're desiring to do what he wants. In those spheres, you might be a target for Satan to discourage you, to cause you to fear, whatever it might be, to tempt you. So we need to be on the alert. Be on the alert, recognizing those things come, recognizing when those thoughts and things come that are not right. Be on the alert. Wait a second, that's not right. Be on the alert how we react to suffering, how we react to other people. Be on the alert for things in our hearts and minds that contradict the truth and character of God. Be on the alert. Be praying. Be praying. We see that throughout. Be praying. So then we're to be alert. We're to also be sober of spirit. And we need to recognize the spirit is willing. We want to do the right thing, but the flesh is weak. So we need something beyond the flesh, don't we? We need Jesus. We need his spirit to enable us to be successful in our defense of our enemy, as we will say. So notice, we're to be alert, we're to be watchful, but there's something else we're to do specifically. Back in our passage, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But, verse 9, resist him firm in your faith. The term resist him is a command. It implies we're going to know that we've been alert, we are aware, we're not drunk with our worries, and we recognize we're being tempted. We recognize what's going on, and we must resist him. Resist him, okay? We're going to see Nehemiah resist his opponents all the time by trusting God. By trusting God. He resists his opponents by trusting God and being about the work of God, right? Okay, so resist him. But how can we resist such a powerful foe? Are we to rebuke Satan? Stop, Satan! Don't hurt me! How do we resist Satan? Well, we know false teachers will say you should do that. But in Jude, we know that Michael the archangel did not dare pronounce a railing judgment against Satan. But he said the Lord rebuke you. Let God take care of Satan, but God's going to tell us how we resist him. Resist him, notice the word, firm in your faith. Now, some versions will have the "your" in italics, and you'll see that, which means they believe that that's probably what the original language intended. It's not in the original language. They're helping you translate. It's a translation. But here, it is literally, I like the NASB, but they made a mistake. I don't like their translation here. If you read the Greek, it literally says, resist him firm in the faith. There's a "the" there. It literally is there. And that's a better translation. Yes, we do believe and trust Jesus, and that's part of it, but it's firm in the faith. So what does that mean? How can I resist him? Firm, steros, sturdy in the faith. How can I do that? Well, first of all, the faith speaks of the body of truth that we have been handed down through the scriptures that we believe concerning Christ and his will. In Acts chapter 6, we see that salvation was spoken of synonymously as being obedient to the faith, the truth that they believed, the truth that is believed, the truth that is believed by true believers, the faith, the body of doctrine passed down. Pastors and teachers are for the equipping of the saints until we attain the unity of the faith, the unity of understanding and believing that body of doctrine together in the context of that, right? Jude speaks of the faith delivered once for all. We have it. Now, we know faith, the action comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. That's why it's connected together. The unity of the faith, the truth that we believe in which brings about faith, right? So then we're to resist the devil firm in the faith. The term firm I mentioned is steros. It's where we get our word steroid. That means speaking of hard, firm, or solid. So we're to resist the devil being firm in your belief of the truth of God and the God of the truth. Firm in what you believe from the word of God, firm, strong, not waffling around, not jello, but firm, firm in your belief of what God has said. God says his peace, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your heart and mind. Firm in the faith. I believe that. I'm not waffling. Not sure. No, firm, right? Whatever it is, firm in the truth, the belief of the truth that has been revealed. Firm in the belief of the word of God and the God of the word. We resist Satan by being immovably trusting the Lord, immovably trusting the Lord and believing what the scripture says concerning our circumstances, concerning him and concerning us. Simply, brothers and sisters, it speaks of the shield of faith, right? And the sword of the word. We see that in Ephesians. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth. Like, be strong, steroid, and have put on the breastplate of righteousness, and have shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith, with which you may be extinguished all the flaming missiles of the evil one. When you believe in the Lord, and you believe what he has said, not one missile is going to get to you. Every single one. Resist him firm in the faith. Believing the truth that God has revealed, that comes from the God of the truth, and believing in him. Our faith is in him. Our faith is in the Lord. So then resist him. Resist him firm in the faith. And I venture to say there's many believers who have fallen prey to Satan and been devoured because they were not firm in the faith. They did not listen to this. They allowed themselves to be weak and not, I'm not talking about weak in terms of just being weak. We are weak, but compared to being strong in trusting Jesus, their faith is weak. They don't believe everything God says, practically speaking. It's not on their hearts and minds. You got to be in the Word of God to be firm in the faith. It's got to be running through your head all the time. And therefore, we need to be sober, not intoxicated by worry or fear. We need to be on the alert, and we need to resist the devil, standing firm in an immovable trust of Jesus and what he has said. I believe what he said, and he's going to bring it forth. You think about the spies that went into the land. The bad guys were not firm in the faith. But the guys who were the good guys, they believed, regardless of what they saw, they believed what God said. They were firm in the faith. Do you believe what God says concerning your circumstances? You know, we can get all upset. We look at our jobs going a certain way or whatever it might be, or relationships. We should be on our knees praying and trusting the Lord so we don't become victims to that lion who wants to devour us through our lack of faith in Jesus Christ. So then, we are to be firm in the faith. And notice he gives an example. He says, but resist him firm in the faith, knowing. You're going to know some biblical truth that's going to help you stand firm, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are around the world. And I love this word, being accomplished, teleos. It means it's being done. It's being brought to its end. The suffering's not forever. God will soon, as we see in the next verse, establish, strengthen, and bring us up in that sense. He's going to bring us through. This is part and parcel. You are not the only one going through this. True brothers and sisters are suffering too. The same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers who are in the world. Epiteleo, successful completion. The same experience of sufferings is coming to successful completion by your brothers and sisters around the world. You're going to make it through. God's going to get you through. It's the same as everyone else is experiencing. Don't get caught off guard. You know, therefore, we don't lose heart, right? Though the outer man's decaying, inner man's being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Bake that in your heart. Resist him firm in the faith. All things work together for good to those who love God. Those are called according to his purpose. Bake it in your heart. Stand firm in the faith. And after you have suffered a little while, same passage here, just after ours, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Wow. He himself, personally, will himself confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Remember Nehemiah's prayer, what we saw a couple weeks ago? God, you are way above everything. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Don't be someone who is vulnerable to Satan's attacks. God command you not to, by the way, if you're a believer. It's sin if you fall into that, by the way. Confess if you have been demolished by Satan. Confess you did not obey this. You were ignorant. Still sin. Confess it and thank the Lord that he loves you. And he's desiring to reprove you so that you'd be more like his son Jesus. Confess and be restored and then step out and resist him firm in the faith. Folks, we have an enemy. We have an enemy and we're going to face opposition. We've already faced it in this church. We've faced it. I'm still facing it right now. Maybe some of you are. We have an enemy who desires to get at us. Our enemy is Satan, and he uses people who are in his domain as his pawns. And yes, they are evil, and what they're doing is evil, yes. But we need to learn how to respond, and how we respond by trusting and obeying our Lord Jesus Christ, by focusing on him, by resisting the devil firm in the faith. And if you fail, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, submit to God, resist the devil, and then confess your sin, repent, right? So then, how are you doing? Are you thinking right? Are you watchful? Are you aware we have an enemy that prowls about to devour us? Well, we need to be. And that's not so that we would fear. That's so that we would turn and focus on our Savior, who has defeated him at the cross, who, if we trust in him, not one of the fiery darts can get to us. And then we can go about his work, even though it's difficult, for his glory, and we're on our way to eternal glory.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what are your final thoughts?
David, is simply this. Yes, we will have trials in this life. Yes, we will be tempted. Yes, we have an adversary, the devil. But God's word is clear. We're to be sober and on the alert. We're to resist our adversary, firm in the faith, believing God's word and trusting in Jesus, remembering our suffering is the temporal norm for believers, and He will bring us through those trials and temptations to a successful and glorious completion.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.